Instead of working for your salvation, come to God, come to Christ. Listen to what he has to say that you may live. And what does he have to say? The reality is the wages of sin is death. You see, sin brings about death, and God wants you to know that because he doesn't want you to die in your sins. He loves you.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the title of your message today asks an important question.
Yes, it does, Dave. And that question is, what does God offer us? Well, the answer's in our passage today, so we need to pay close attention. Turn with us to Isaiah chapter 55.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Sounds like somewhat of an oxymoron, come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Now, there's many that make much about the wine, milk, and water and the symbolism there, but that's not the point. He's using an analogy, God is. Buy it without money. You need it. You need to purchase it, but it doesn't cost anything if you go to God. It doesn't cost anything. The point is you need it. It does cost, but it's no cost to you within the Lord's offer. You see, folks, you will never be saved if you believe you must do something. Salvation is not through any work of our own. It is not through a physical baptism. It is not through the sacraments. It is not through any work that anyone is saved. The work that has done by Jesus Christ alone is that in which we're saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's man's problem. The prerequisite to coming to Jesus is an understanding of your sin and thus a thirst and a need for salvation, a conviction of sin. Secondly, you must understand that nothing within yourself or anyone else apart from the living God can fulfill the need of salvation. There's nothing you can do. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk without money, without cost. Now notice there's an exhortation now as we continue to evaluate your spiritual life, to evaluate where you are. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Again, with that analogy. Two parallel statements here to the thirsty. One looking for salvation from their sins. Now, this is to the one who's actually realizes they need salvation, but they're going to the wrong place. They're going to the wrong place. Why do you spend money when the offer is for free, right? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? It's not salvation. It's not what you need. And your wages for that which does not satisfy. The term satisfy speaks of being filled or fulfilled. Why are you spending your wages for that which does not satisfy in the context of true salvation? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 2. You see, the Jews were guilty of this. They went to a religiousness rather than the God who was revealed in the Word. Jesus would say to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think in them there's eternal life. They thought by obeying the word they got eternal life. But he says, it's just those very scriptures that point to me, and yet you are unwilling to come. You see, Jesus Christ gives eternal life, and then he enables us to obey his word. Jeremiah 2, verse 12. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. They've forsaken the Lord and gone to religious stuff that doesn't work. It can't hold water. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've made for themselves religious substitutes. And the Lord says here, why do you spend money? Why do you do your religious things? Why do you do this? For that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy. It's a bogus deal. Why do you seek and work for a counterfeit? Why do you do so? You see, it's only the Lord who saves, and it's by His grace that we are saved, not of our own works. Not of our own works. And so notice what the Lord says. He says in the middle of verse 2, listen carefully to me. If you're working for your salvation, listen carefully to the Lord. He says, and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Listen carefully. Listen carefully in the context of the scriptures and partake of salvation. What did he say earlier in Isaiah chapter 53? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Listen carefully to him. Listen carefully and partake of salvation through the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. It's a free offer. Middle of verse 2, listen carefully and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. The term abundance here, as we're going to see, is delight yourself in abundant pardon or forgiveness. You see, when you're saved, we can delight in the forgiveness that Christ has brought us. Tremendous, wonderful realities. When you realize how sinful you really are, what a delight it is to be forgiven. What a wonderful thing. So then he says, pay attention. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. And look at verse 3. Incline your ear and what? Come to me. He doesn't say do stuff. He says, incline your ear and come to me that you may live. It's life and death. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. The Lord is calling upon you to endear your heart to hear His truth concerning your sin and the Savior, Jesus Christ, to then come to Him and listen carefully that you may live, that you may live. Instead of working for your salvation, come to God, come to Christ. Listen to what He has to say that you may live. And what does He have to say? The reality is the wages of sin is death. You see, sin brings about death. And God wants you to know that because He doesn't want you to die in your sins. He loves you. He doesn't want that to happen. So He wants you to listen. He wants you to listen. Listen to what He says in Revelation chapter 20. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You see, we need to hear about punishment for sin. We need to hear about that so that we recognize what we need to be saved from, so that we receive the free gift and we are delivered forever and forgiven. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, and from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And he said earlier in Revelation that those who overcome are in the book of life. And then in 1 John 5, who is it that overcomes? The one who believes in Jesus Christ. You see, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. But God is gracious, and He wants you to listen. Listen about where you are really at concerning your sin and thus salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you come to Jesus, then you need to listen to what He has to say. Come and listen. Don't work for salvation. You've got heavy loads, burdens that you cannot bear. Jesus will lighten those loads. He will lift those religious burdens off your shoulders because His load is light. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Now, it's written to the Jews who were weary and heavy laden with their religiousness. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my load is light." Come to Jesus and have your burdens taken away. Have your sin forgiven. Tremendous, wonderful reality. Some of you may have grown up in religiousness or even in a household where the truth was proclaimed, but you're doing it from the outside. You've never had a heart that's been changed. Come to Jesus. He says in our passage that you may live. That you may live. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And back to our passage, incline your ear. Listen. Let the hardness of your heart fall away. Listen that you may live. And notice what he says in the middle of verse 3, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. You'll have an everlasting covenant. A covenant speaks of a promise, an agreement between God and you. And this is in the context of salvation. You come to him, he'll make an agreement about saving you. We see in Jeremiah chapter 31 this agreement to Israel by which we benefit through faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Jeremiah 31:31. You see, God had a deal with Israel, a covenant, an agreement. And in this new covenant that he had, we partake by faith, as we see in the New Testament. We partake of the blessings of this new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant," or agreement, "with the house of Israel." He had made an initial covenant with them, with his law, right? Which revealed how sinful they really were, didn't it? And he says, "a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. By this, the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them." That's on their heart. "And on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man and his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And why will they know him? For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." That's the new covenant that came about through Jesus' blood. Go up a little farther to Jeremiah 32, verse 37. "Behold, I will gather them out of the lands to which I have driven them in my anger and in my wrath and in my great indignation. And I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me." That's a great deal. God says, you go to him, you listen to him, he's going to make a deal with you. And that deal is salvation. A salvation that is everlasting. You'll never turn away from him. It truly happens. What a wonderful, wonderful offer. Incline your ear, back in Isaiah 55. "And come to me, listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." Now, in the context of Isaiah, this offer is to Israel, but we see in the New Testament this new covenant that Jesus brought through his blood that brings the forgiveness of sins to all who believe. So the Lord is basically saying, bend your ear, come to me and listen that you may live, and I'll save you from your sins forever. And I will do this according to my faithful mercies that I've shown to David. Oh, David was quite a sinner, wasn't he? And God was faithful to him, wasn't he? He was repentant and the Lord had redeemed him. He was a repentant man. David was a man that God exhibited his covenant faithfulness with. He's faithful to him. And based on God's faithfulness in regard to his promises with David, he will faithfully bring about in the future the salvation of Israel. And that's what I believe verses 4 and 5 are about. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader, speaking of David, a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation, that word speaks of peoples or non-Jews. Behold, you will call a nation who you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. It's basically saying here, someday, just as I exhibited my covenant faithfulness to David, I will do that with you, Israel, and on that day, peoples, non-Jews, will come to you because of your relationship with me, because you have been glorified in me through salvation. You say, I don't understand. Well, the point is that for Israel at that time, if they would listen, he would save them. But because of his ultimate faithfulness to David, they will be saved eventually. Not of all time, but at that time. So the same principle applies to us for salvation. You need to recognize your need of salvation. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to recognize nothing you can do or will do can bring that about. It is only through the free gift that comes through the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was pierced for your transgressions. And the offer is open to all who thirst, to all who recognize they need forgiveness of sins. Incline your ear and come to me and listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now our problem is we're unwilling to listen. We're unwilling to let our heart listen to what God has to say. If your heart is hard and you don't want to listen, God's gracious. Lord, break my heart. Change my heart that I would listen. Sadly, we listen to our own desires rather than what God says. But God wants us to live. He wants us to live eternally with him. Incline your ear and come to me and listen, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Come to him. Are you willing to accept the fact that sin has caused a separation between you and God? That your righteous deeds are like a filthy garment? All the stuff you thought you did religiously, it's filthy to God. Are you willing to accept the fact that transgressions and sinners will be crushed together? Those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. That he will punish the evil and the wicked for their iniquity and put an end to the arrogance of the proud. Are you willing to admit that? And then come to him and receive the free gift without cost. Back to our passage. He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. And then notice in verse 6, there is a warning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now we need to recognize what type of seeking this really is. It's not a seeking based on your own wisdom to try to figure out if what he says is right or wrong, to work out all the things in your head. It is a seeking that is in context of calling upon him. Notice the parallelism. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. That seeking is calling upon him to save you while he may be found. Context is key. Remember, he just made the offer. Come and buy salvation without cost. And then he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is not an independent seeking of the Lord, because it's in parallel with calling upon him. Call upon him. You see, those who really seek the Lord are calling upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What a tremendous reality. He's near to those who are not saved yet. The offer is there. Tremendous reality. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And notice, this points out a specific time that this needs to be done. You see, if you're convicted of your sin and you recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, stop working for your salvation and call upon him to save you while he's near. Seek him while he's near. Call upon him while he may be found. Seek him and then call upon him while he's near. Friend, there is a time in which God allows himself to be sought and found in the context of salvation while he's near. There's a time. This is amazing. God comes close to non-believers. He is near. And he does it through his Spirit convicting the heart of sin, revealing Jesus through the gospel. He calls upon you to listen. When you've been convicted of your sin, you recognize your need for a Savior. God is near. Call upon him while he's near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Salvation is not simply raising a hand or whatever it is. Now, you may have done that, but salvation has to do with calling upon the Lord to save you. Believing that he is the one who brought salvation, that we are sinful and that he died for our sins and rose from the dead. And there is a window in which the Lord will allow you to respond. But if you don't, your heart will be hardened. We see this principle in Scripture. If you reject him calling upon you while he is near, he will allow your heart to be hardened, that you wouldn't be saved. That's a hard thing to think about. That's why it's a warning. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And we want to look at verse 10. And here the Lord Jesus had begun to speak in parables. And those are stories that are thrown alongside to make a point, which by nature are not fully understandable apart from an explanation. Now in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus' disciples were wondering, why do you speak to them in parables? Why aren't you just making it clear? Why aren't you making it clear? Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them, that's the multitudes, in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Notice the contrast. But to them it has not been granted. The amazing thing is we're going to see it was granted earlier. They had the opportunity to hear the word of God, but they closed their ears so God allowed them to be hardened. The opportunity had slipped by them. It was done. The them speaks of the multitudes to which he is now speaking in parables. To you it's been granted, to them it has not. And notice the explanation, verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. We see here, for true believers, it's an amazing statement. We're going to continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We're going to have it in abundance. Yet the contrast, but to he who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from them. He's making the case that these are those who have been granted the knowledge of Christ, that he's near, but yet had not responded, so he's taking that away. There was a time when they could have called upon the Lord while he was near, just as Isaiah said to these Jews. Jesus is making the case that those who have been granted knowledge when he's near, but yet have not responded, there'll be a time when they will not be able to call upon him because they will have had their hearts hardened. Seek him while he is near. Call upon him, or while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's a pretty scary thought to think about. There's a window of time that God allows someone to respond to his truth concerning Christ. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you made a very important point in your message today, and as we wrap up our time together, I'd like you to expand on it a little bit.
Yes, Dave, you are so right. It's a very important point that we saw today, that we need to call upon the Lord while he is near, that there's only a limited window of opportunity for us to call upon the Lord, and the day of salvation is today.
Friend, will you call upon Jesus to save you? Will you call upon him to save you from your sins? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Do so today.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.